everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and...
Raylene, hello.
That's right.
It's me.
Raylene and Ariel back again. Who would have believed it? Yep. After the massive fight we had in last week's episode. We actually haven't had a fight on an episode in a while, and... I think we actually only really had one, and it was this whole betrayal arc that it was very scary for me. It happened last year. It was very scary. But we should start to sow seeds as if we fight constantly, so people go back and listen to the episode. Yeah. It's a promo strategy. It's not a good promo strategy, but it's a strategy.
There you go.
Okay, so we're here. We're still peachy. Mm-hmm. Listen, this whole peachy life... It's more than any, I obviously knew I was dyeing my hair peach, and so that would affect my lifestyle. It's really affected my lifestyle.
Okay,
really.
Tell me all about it.
Well, like, okay, so I was having a meeting. It wasn't really a meeting. It was like a half meeting, half hang with someone. Okay. And I was sitting there, like, listening, and I just said, I'm sorry, I've got to stop you right there. And they were like, okay. I was like, can you take me seriously right now? They were like, what do you mean? I was like, the peach hair. Can it be taken seriously? And they were like, honestly, yes. I think you're pulling it off. I was like,
nice.
Continue. And I was just like so in my head about how it's changed my perception of myself and everything. But on the other hand, I feel like I'm one with spring a little bit more. Tomorrow is the first day of spring.
Oh.
Right? Is it tomorrow?
I don't know.
In 2 days? It's you should know. You're like the
tomorrow's
pagan
Ostara.
Queen.
I know that. I don't know the regular calendar anymore.
she's fully switched to an alternative calendar lifestyle.
I only know the Sabbats. What?
First day of spring, 2024. Oh, no, it's Wednesday, March 20th.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, it's usually the 20th or 21st when the seasons change. Yeah.
So that's happening in like 2 days. And I feel really springy with my hair.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So that's, I'm liking that, definitely. But on your end, we're having a lot of like re-dyeing going on.
Yeah, I'm keeping it alive. Because I haven't dyed it since last week. Like last week I dyed it and then we recorded the next day. So that was like freshly re-dyed. I've since then washed my hair, I think, 3 times. And it's faded quite a bit, mostly on one side. And so I'm kind of like, I think I'm going to dye it again today with the same color just to kind of keep up the rose gold situation. And then the next time after that, I might go rogue. I might try something new because I have a couple of dyes that I'm like excited to try out that are all like in the you know, peachy zone, but not
in the peach family.
They're the peach family, but they're a little bit different. So I'm excited to play around with it because I do enjoy it. Although I must say, it's been 2 weeks since we dyed our hair now, right?
Yes.
And I haven't really talked about like my work situation and how that's been going.
Yes, true.
So
please.
I started with what I'm calling a soft launch of the peach hair, which was wearing it in a ponytail every single day.
Yeah.
And so you could just see like the little front curl that has some peach, but then the rest of it was kind of just like behind in my ponytail, not as crazy. So I only had 3 people comment on it, and they're people that I work with very closely. So I was like, okay, that's not strange. Like, this is normal. But nobody else mentioned it at all. So I was like, oh my
interesting.
Gosh, this is scary. Do they all hate it or do they just not notice? And so on Friday, though, a couple of days ago, I was like, I'm going to try something a little different just for today. Because there's not that many people in the office on Fridays sometimes. Okay. So I was like, I'll wear my hair down, but with the sides up. Which honestly might have been even more bold than just wearing it fully down because there's so much underneath.
You exposed it.
Yeah, I exposed it a little bit, but I thought it looked really cool. So I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And then I got 2 more compliments on my hair that day. Yeah. So I was like, okay, people like it, but there's still a lot of people who aren't saying anything.
So that's fascinating. So either they truly don't care.
Yeah.
And they're just like, whatever.
It's
whatever.
Just hair.
Or... you think you're scared they don't like it, and so they're not saying anything.
Yeah.
Is that what you're scared of? That's so funny.
Which I never think about. Like, I never think about, do people like my hair? But I'm like, but it's so different and so bold and so crazy. But the one of the people in the office who complimented me on my hair has naturally red hair, and she told me she liked my hair, and I thought that was really cool. Wow. And then the other person who complimented me said that they kept thinking that I was that person. with the red hair. Oh, interesting. Because I kept seeing just the bottoms of my hair.
So I was maybe
like, I'm a ginger now. It's
maybe everyone in the office thinks that you're that other person, and they're just like, "Oh, look, there they go."
There they go. Somehow her hair got dark streaks. Who knows? Whatever. But yeah, so far it's been good. Nobody has been like, "Whoa, your hair is crazy! Like, what were you thinking?" You know, I didn't get anything like that, so I feel okay.
What were you thinking? I have had a similar type of reaction where people seem to all like it. Yeah. Like, I haven't had anyone who's like, "Oh,
what'd you do that for?"
Everyone seems to be like, "Oh, wait, I actually like this more than I thought I would," yeah. Which everyone keeps saying when I'm like, "Oh, wow, people really were not thinking it was going to
work." I know, all my friends were expecting one thing, and then when they saw it, they're like, "Oh, no, this is cute. Yeah, this is good.
We like this more than we thought." Yeah. That's so funny. How was your week? Anything juicy happen? Anything interesting of note?
Not like too juicy. I mean, tomorrow, as we're recording this, tomorrow is Kyle's birthday. So tomorrow is going to be kind of a fun day. But this past weekend, he wanted to do something with his friends. And so we went out towards Vancouver to do some fun activities. So in the morning, when we first got out there, him and his friends, there was five of them. They went to a gun range and just like shot guns, because that's what men like to do, I guess. Like, Kyle got to shoot a sniper rifle and he thought that was really fun. So that was fun. I was like, you know what? I don't really care about that. It's also very expensive. So if I'm like indifferent, I don't want to participate because it's too much money. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go on my own little adventure. And so I just went thrifting. Uh-oh. Like, nothing crazy. I just
thrifting. I thought you were going to say, so I just went to 6 or 7 bookshops.
I could have. Honestly, if I had more time, I could have gone to like 10 different thrift stores, because this area just has so many good thrift stores. But luckily, I just was like, you know what? I'll just go to like Value Village and the two kind of that are close to it. And so I did, because I also had some things I needed to return. So I was like, this is a good, you know, this is a good thing I need to do anyway. So I went to Value Village and I found a book for myself. I found a book for a friend, and I went to another little thrift store and found a couple of items of clothing, because I'm going to a themed birthday party this upcoming weekend. So I needed to get some special clothes for that. It's emo themed, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
That's a great theme. The hair will help with the emo
theme. I know. I don't know how I'm going to do my hair yet, but I think it's going to be lots of fun. But yeah, so I just did a little thrifting, and then after I was done that, we did go-karting, which I haven't done in years. Like, it's
My God, I haven't done that in years either. Is it as fun as I think it is? Like, is it as fun as I remember it being?
It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. Because also, the only go-karts I've ever driven before have been, like, fairly, you know, not too fast. Just kind of, like, meant for, like, kids and adults to be able to use. Yeah. These ones were a little bit faster than that. Okay. And it was, like, an indoor course as well. And there was lots of, like, you know, sharp turns and everything. So I was, like, drifting around corners. Like, I was going full Mario Kart. And actually, there was a guy there dressed up as Mario.
Oh my.
He was wearing a full head-to-toe outfit. And I was like, that's awesome. Okay, respect. I'm really glad that I witnessed that, because that's perfect. I did come in like 9th place out of 12 people, but I had a lot of fun.
I can tell that bothers you because you're so good at Mario Kart.
I know. And the funny thing is, this group of Kyle's friends, last time I saw them, which was like a year and a half ago, we all played Mario Kart and I smashed them every single time. And they were so confident. They're like, "We're so good at Mario Kart. We're going to beat you." And I was like, "Yeah, watch. Just watch." And I slaughtered them. But yeah, no, they're better actual drivers than me, which is not surprising.
You know, when it comes to the road, I guess.
I really need, you know, the mushrooms and the bananas as weapons. That's
interesting, that's though, what gets because me going. That is strategy. That is technique.
Yeah.
Right?
That's, with just driving, that's, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not that good at this. But it was lots of fun.
That's awesome. That sounds like a fun birthday.
Yeah.
That sounds really
fun. It was
fun.
Good. That's good.
Well, the thing I wanted to mention that I did this week is I went to a new bookshop. So, as everyone may recall, one of my resolutions last year was to visit every bookshop in Nova Scotia. Yeah. And I ended up visiting 19, which is a lot when you think about it. Like, that's a lot of bookshops, independent bookshops to have gone to. Mm-hmm. But it was actually about half of all of the indies in Nova Scotia. So I was like, that's no problem. I'll just finish the goal this year. So this year, that goal continues on. And we're into March, and I haven't gone to any, to many book, to many, maybe not any new bookshops, actually. And I was like, okay, cool. I know that this is in large part because it's been terrible winter. And, like, I don't feel like driving long distances and going to new, and, like, it's snowing and cold.
Yeah,
it is, even last year, it was more of a, like, a warmer season time.
Yeah.
But yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before? It was on Saturday, whatever. I was like, it's a beautiful day. And what it turned out, I didn't realize this, but it turned out one of the bookshops that I wanted to go to was in walking distance. So I was like, it was like kind of a longer walk, but I was like, that would still be a really nice way to spend this sunny, almost spring day.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother, Connor, and I walked over to Woozles.
Ooh. Fantastic.
Woozles, and it says here their tagline is Woozles, a place for and about children. It's a children's bookshop.
That makes a lot of sense. That's quite the name.
Yes. I'm just seeing this now here that says locally owned for over 40 years. And it says, and listen, bookshops, in my opinion, are notorious for false claims. So I'm not saying that this is false, but I'm just saying I don't know. It says Canada's oldest children's bookstore.
Oh.
Established in 1978. So whether or not that's true, it was, I have to say, I mean this very genuinely, it was one of the nicest children's bookstores I've ever been in. If I had a child, I would be so excited to take them there. It was beautiful. It was very clean, which I really appreciate. Yeah. It was so clean. It was so tidy. It had a really great selection of books, for like huge section of picture books, huge section of YA, and like, you know, all the different phases of a child growing and like the books that they might interest them. But they also had a lot of Lego, obviously, and a lot of puppets, which were exciting. We played with the puppets for a while. That was great. And then a lot of other toys and kind of, you know, like, how do you, like, toys that are good for learning, those kinds of toys. Yeah. But they were all really beautiful and really cool. So it was just really stunning. And they had it's not that big. It's actually not that big. But it was just beautiful. Like, I loved it.
That's awesome.
I don't foresee myself going back unless there's an event, because it truly was a children's bookshop.
Yeah.
And so there was nothing there that I was like really excited to read. They did have a cool classic section where they had, you know, Charlotte's Web and Peter Pan and Anne of Green Gables, but I already own those. But I did buy these two cards, which are so pretty. They are Rifle Paper Co. Classic. They always do beautiful things. Love them. But they say, what do they say? They say, "Welcome, little one." And it's just this like beautiful style of lino cut that are just so gorgeous. And I know two of my friends are having babies this year.
Oh, there you go.
I was like, it's time. Actually, three of my friends are. But one of them's way later this year. So I was like, that'll be a different time. Anyway, so I was like, I love sending cards. So that'll be really nice. And so this is when I get to debut. Every bookshop in NovaScotia.com. Yep, that's right.
It's happening.
I made a website. It's okay.
Room for improvement.
There are some things that are really great about it. In my opinion, I nailed the home page, the landing page, mwah, 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 beautiful. And then the like, there's like a frequently asked questions submission page, contact page. Love that. The main problem is the most important page, and that is the page that lists every bookshop in Nova Scotia. I've made the website on Squarespace, and it turns out Squarespace doesn't have a way to make tables, like a chart.
Come on.
Which you would think that's like a basic piece of web building.
You'd think, yeah.
You'd think, but it turns out like I genuinely have spent hours searching for a different website builder that allows for tables, and like no one makes tables. It's so
I love
so
tables.
Strange. I love tables too. It was so strange. So I ended up going with kind of like an accordion style list. So it's got the list of all the bookshops, and then if you click on any of the bookshops, it kind of like drops open, and then it's got the info with the address and the website and stuff like that. And so basically I was like, if anyone ever wanted to try this project or just wants to see if there's a bookshop near them, I want to make like a map section or like a section that if I'm in this zone or if I'm in this zone, mm-hmm. like what bookshops are near me. Mm, yeah, that'd be nice. I think that would be really fun. So I want to keep adding to the website, but basically I'm like, I am going to steward this website for the rest of my life.
Yep, this is your job now.
This is my job now. Every bookshop in NovaScotia.com is my job now. And it costs me a lot of money every year because it's like expensive to host a website. But you know what? I do it for the good people of Nova Scotia and the good people that choose to visit Nova Scotia. So check it out because I made it. And spread the good word if anybody wants to, if you know someone who's going to Nova Scotia. Link it to them and be like, here you go, this bookshop's here. But yeah, so I'm excited that the website is now out because I did put a lot of work into it. I'm still not satisfied with that chart, but it'll do for now. Yeah. It'll do for now, and I can keep brainstorming if I would ever want to upgrade it or whatever. But yeah, so now I've visited 20 bookshops in Nova Scotia.
Hell yeah.
Go me go. So, speaking of bookshops, let's talk book hauls, because I heard that you might have done some damage. A little bird told
me. It's all accidental damage. So, because, you know, things just kind of, you know, fell in front of me or showed up in my mailbox. Like, these are things I couldn't really control. But I do have four books that I recently acquired. First, I'll just start with the one I got at the thrift store, because this was like a fun thrift find and a book that I've been wanting to get for a while now. Just Kids by Patti Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I have been thinking about this book for a while, especially because I've now kind of collected, I have a couple of memoirs that are kind of like about the 60s and 70s, and specifically about people who are like in the public eye, people who are artists, writers, musicians, that kind of stuff. And I am just very fascinated by that whole world and that whole time period and everything. And so this one is one that I've known about for a while. When it came out, like, everybody read it and loved it. Like, everybody I know who's read this book has loved it. So it's kind of been on my radar, but I was always like, I don't even really know who Patti Smith is, so I'll probably never read that. But now I'm like, you know what, I'm interested to find out more about her. I want to understand. So that is my little thrift find that I was very excited to find. And then I also had a book come in at my local used bookstore. As I've said before, I have a very large list of books that I'm just like, if you ever find a used copy, please let me know. And so the one that I got is Last Night at the Telegraph Club by Melinda Lowe. Yeah, this one, it was funny. In the message for this one, they're like, this is a very, very popular book, so you only have 3 days to come pick it up. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
That's interesting.
Because it seems like there's like a huge list of people behind me. So I was like, okay, I'm there. Just give me a second.
Does that make you feel pressure to read it soon?
No.
Because you know, like, at a library or on the library app, if it says to me like 10 people are waiting, I'm like, you know what, I return early. I'm not actually dying to read it.
That's true.
Like 10 other people I agree. Are dying
I'm more
to
inclined
it.
To do that with the library, because it is the library, and I'm like, I can always just get it later. With this, it's like, I could have said, oh, you know what? No, pass it to the next person. But then it could be years before I get it. And I was like, you know what? True. I want this. And this one also sounds so good. Like, I can't remember how I heard about this, but it's set in 1954 and is about two women who fall in love at this club called the Telegraph Club. And it's, set in the 50s. So you can imagine that's going to be a very... I was going to say tumultuous is the word I was looking for. Tumultuous time for this story to be taking place. So I'm really excited about that.
Cool.
And then the last two I got are books that came in the mail. I did request them from Penguin, Penguin Random House. My man Cameron over there is always hooking me up with the good books. It's funny, I'm actually signed myself up for a mailing list for Penguin. And so I always get these emails that are like, here are the coolest books coming out in March. And so I was going through this list and I was like, oh man, there's some cool things on this list.
Yeah.
So I haven't received all of the books I requested yet, but these are the first two. So the first one is Memory Piece by Lisa
Coe. Cover.
Yeah, this cover is so cool. And she is the author of the book The Leavers, which I haven't read, but in case people are wondering why her name might sound familiar. And this one is about three friends who are all teenagers in the 1980s. They're all kind of like creative, artistic girls. And the story follows them in the 80s, but it also jumps ahead to the 90s, and it also jumps ahead to the 2040s. So it follows, so it follows these three friends and kind of like their lives maybe not turning out the way they thought they would, but then also going into the future, which I think is going to be really interesting because I think it'll talk about how like art and technology kind of are starting to collide and like how that all is looking. So I'm really intrigued by this. Really intrigued by that.
Have you seen, I know I talked to you a lot about it, but have you seen How to Make an American Quilt yet?
No, I haven't.
You've got to watch that movie because it's that, like, it's like set, first of all, it's set in like the 90s, which you love, and then it's about this Winona Ryder, who everyone loves, but Winona Ryder goes and hangs out with a bunch of old ladies who tell her about their lives in the 60s, and then you see kind of like how their lives were and how they actually turned out, kind of thing.
Okay, I'll rebump that up on my list because I just keep forgetting about it.
I think you'd really love
it. I definitely want to check that out. Well, and the last book I got here is a sports book, which is so fun. this one is called There's Always This Year on Basketball and Ascension by Hanif Abdurraqib. And this one is, I was just like, you know what? Yeah, I do need a basketball book. And I've been intrigued. Like, I haven't read any of his books yet, but he does have a few titles that I've been like, I think I want to read that. He's known for A Little Devil in America, but he also wrote a book called They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us. And I really want to read that one. It's an essay collection. And yeah, this one is like kind of a memoir, but also just talking about like basketball. And I don't really know too much about it, but it has super, super good reviews. And I've just heard nothing but good things about him and his writing. He's also a poet, so I think his writing is going to be really beautiful. And I want to get more into sports books. I think that could be my thing this year. We will see. We will see. So, yes, thanks again, Penguin, for hooking me up with those books because I'm very excited about all of them.
I ended up picking up one book. I went to Agricola Street Books, which I've talked about before here. It's on the list at every bookshop at NovaScotia.com. Yes, yes. I was there with a friend and we were just kind of in the area. So we ended up, I was like, oh, the book, I think the bookshop's open. Let's pop in. And so we did. And I also bought a bunch of cards. I really like sending gift cards. Like, not gift cards, just cards.
Cash.
Cash. Money. I love sending money.
I love it when you send me money too.
But I saw this and I was like, actually, yeah. So it's Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan. So I used to own a copy of this and then I ended up getting rid of it for XYZ reason. And I was like, no, I definitely want a copy of that book.
Yeah.
So this is a copy that I have no association with. I'm like, I have no opinions about this cover of this book.
Yeah.
But now it's my copy of this book.
There you go.
And I'm like happy to add it back onto the shelf.
It kind of matches with your background, honestly. Like,
it does kind of match with my background. Yeah. Oh my God, it really does. I'm in Halifax right now for our audio listeners. So I'm not actually in my house. But I just found it has a bookmark in it. It's a nighttime scene, a cityscape. Okay, it's less mysterious than I thought. The lovely bookmark is from Agricola Street Books, which is awesome. I love it when a bookshop has a really great bookmark.
Yeah, when it's more than just, this is our store. This is our address.
Yeah. That's something I'm going to have to do for the mini truck. I'm going to have get bookmarks to hand out. And that will be a really fun... Oh, God. There's so many... Like, obviously, it's the miniest version of a bookshop possible. Yeah. But a lot of the things that a bookshop does, I also need to do.
Totally.
And so, for example, a bookmark would be useful to hand out even if I'm a mini bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about accepting payments yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Down an entire rabbit hole because, like, that's a whole song and dance and I have to figure it out. And it has to be a robust system. And, like, I could say cash only and then that's easy because then I just have to have a cash box. But who has cash?
I know.
So obviously I can't just do cash only. So then I was like, okay, I could just get one of those little square readers where people can tap.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I feel like it has to have the insert thing.
Yeah.
Because some cards won't allow you to tap. Sometimes tap fails, so you want to have the insert thing. And then I was like, do I want to be able, like, do I want people to be able to put their pin in? Because some people don't want to tap. I've seen that before. Yeah. People are like, I don't do tap. I only insert.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, if you're inserting, you got to... So then do I do that on my phone? And so then am I handing people my own phone? That seems weird. So then I'm like, should I just get one, like a little machine, like a cash machine? And I was like, oh my God, this is just, I spent like an hour on this last night. And I was like, this is just one of the 600 decisions I have to make in the next 3 months or whatever. But yeah, I guess I haven't done a mini truck update.
I was going to say, like, tell us everything. Where else are you at with the truck?
So, one thing that the positive thing that happened was I got my custom license plate. Yeah, you did. All right. Hell yes. So I won't reveal them yet because I have to register them still. And I want to make sure that that all goes through before I happily announce something and it ends up not being the thing. But, yeah, so I got them in the mail and they look incredible. I sent you a photo. You've seen them. They're so sick. You were like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, if Raylene likes it,
I'm very satisfied.
Yeah, very satisfied. So I've got the custom plates and I'm basically just right now a little bit stuck on timeline because I'm working on the branding. And I really want to get the branding right because it's so important to so many other decisions. Like what color I paint the truck, what color of merch I make, what color, what logo I put on everything. Like it has to be really, I have to be really happy with it before I can do anything else. So I've gotten a little stuck on there, but it's okay. It's going to be really good and worth the wait for sure. The other thing is I met with my merch lady and told her about my hopes and dreams. Mm. And she was so on board and she pitched me some of the coolest ideas ever. So the merch on the truck is going to be insane. Like I am so unbelievably excited for the merch. It's going to be the best. I like solidly expect that I will make more money from selling merch than I will from selling books.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure. Because like if I don't have a book you want, then you're not going to buy anything.
Right.
But if you're a bookish person and you see a cute book item, you'll probably buy a little pin or a little something or other. So, so things are happening, but nothing has like moved forward enough to be like a new big update.
Right, right. Do you have a goal for when you want it to be up and running? Like
great cue.
Yeah.
Great cue. I got invited to host a pop-up with the truck at the end of June.
Okay.
So that's 3 months from now. A lot has to happen. But at the same time, I'm like, but also not a lot has to happen.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be perfect.
It's true. This is just the first little launch of your truck.
It's just the first launch. So that is at the end of June. And I said yes.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
And so that's what I'm, it's the weekend of June 23rd and it will be in Halifax and I will reveal more details soon. But this reminds me, I have to make the website and we all know how much fun I had making every bookshop in NovaScotia.com.
Yeah.
But again, I can't make the website until I have the branding.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of things are stuck right now before the branding is ready. I will say, because obviously this is going to come up. And I'll make, you'll see as things develop, but like almost everything that the truck sells will be available online as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you're never able to come to Nova Scotia, but you still like, I want a pin of the truck or I want the bookmarks or it will all be available online when the time comes. I think I will do a couple of things that will be like truck only where you have to be at the truck to get it because I think that's fun. And also obviously the books will only be in person.
Yeah.
I'm not like becoming an online bookshop.
No, that's a pain.
But the merch will be available to all. So don't worry. If you're like, I will never go to Nova Scotia, but I really want to like buy a piece of this truck history. It'll be available.
Perfect.
But the other thing too is like a lot of the truck stuff that I have to do next is like build the bookshelves and paint the truck. Those things I literally couldn't do in the winter because it kept snowing. And so I was like, I don't have a garage, so I have to just do it outside. Right. So now that it's becoming spring, I'm like very excited to spend some time outside.
Yay.
Building shelves.
I'm excited to see how it goes.
I know. All right. Well, that's a little truck update. Okay, let's talk about reading.
Yes.
What did you read? What are you reading? Am I right?
Well, let me start because my update is just as boring as it was last week. So I'm now halfway through Project Hail Mary. As you can see, it's, yeah, I'm halfway through now. I was still pretty early on, but I'm now over the halfway point and I'm really liking it still. My only complaint is that, like, the main character, like I've said before, basically the story is he wakes up and he's on a spaceship and he has no idea who he is, where he is, why he's there. And so as the story progresses, obviously, he starts to remember things. Things start to come back to him. And so there's all these kind of, like, flashbacks to, like, this is the reason that he went to space. And so, like, it just goes back. And it just happens so, like, often, at least particularly in the beginning. Now that I'm halfway through, he like has enough memories that it doesn't happen very often. But I found it to be kind of annoying because he'd be like, okay, I'm just gonna go like have something to eat. And then he'd be like, whoa, flashback. And he'd be like thrown back into a memory and it just kept happening. And I was like, okay, this is just like a little bit of an aggressive way to tell the story, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that part was a little annoying, but now that I'm past that it's really good. And I don't want to say anything about like what's happening in the plot, but one person did tell me that this makes a really good audiobook. It is unfortunately an Audible only, so I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna bother. Wow. But now that I'm reading it, I can really understand why. So if anybody like is thinking about reading this and you have an Audible subscription or you can get a free trial, I think this would be really cool because there is like an audio aspect to the book that I'm like really curious how that would come across in an audiobook format. Mm. And yeah, that's all I can really say, but it's very interesting. And yeah, I'm really liking it. It has some kind of like, the movie Arrival, obviously, for anybody listening. Yeah. It has some things like that going on, a little bit of like learning how to communicate with different types of people and stuff like that. So it's really, it's an interesting book and it's still just as like lighthearted and funny as it was at the beginning and like similar to The Martian. So I'm really enjoying it. I am almost done working on my crochet cardigan, which is what's been stopping me. It's almost done. I was going to try and finish it for today to wear it today, but I don't actually have to finish it until the end of this week. So I was like,
okay,
I'm not going to push it, but it's a little smaller than I thought it was going to be. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think I'll be wearing it next week in the episode, regardless of how it turns out. But
yeah,
once I'm done that, I'm going to have more time for reading. And the weather has suddenly turned very beautiful here.
Yeah.
And so I just like want to sit outside and read this book. That's the mood I'm in. So hopefully I'll have finished it by next week. But that's the goal. We'll see. I feel like I'm stalling on my reading a little bit. I'm like, uh-oh, I need to read more. But yeah, I'm doing okay. How about you? What have you been reading?
Okay, I finished two things this week. The first one was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Born in 1850 in Edinburgh, Robert Louis Stevenson was a Scottish writer most famous for A Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Treasure Island, and Kidnapped. He spent much of his life traveling and documenting it through writing, and ultimately settled in Valima, Samoa, where he spent the last years of his life. He died at age 44 after a lifetime of chronic illness. So this one seems like it's a little out of left field, am I right?
Yeah.
I love this book. I think this is my third time reading it. Mm. It might be... It just seems strange to me if it's my second. I really think it's my third time
reading. I think you're right about that, yeah.
Yeah. I read it for sure the first time in university, and it was for a Scottish literature course. Ooh. And so we were looking at, like, the big Scottish writers and tracing through kind of the heavy hitters. And what was interesting about this book is that it's not set in Edinburgh. It's set in London. And I remember we chatted about that, and it seemed significant at the time, and now I don't remember why. Yeah. I was like, I remember, like, 19-year-old me was like, yeah, wow, whoa, big decision to set it in London. And now I'm like, why did I? There was a reason that was a big deal. Yeah. I don't quite recall. But here's what's so interesting about why I read this book, Raylene.
Okay.
I think this is going to lead to a small but interesting conversation for the podcast. Because over the last few months, you and I have accidentally become sort of anti-book club, right?
Yeah.
not actually, sort of in a memeing way, yeah. but we have had multiple people for our Reading Confessions episodes messaging us saying, my book club is tearing my life apart.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, maybe book clubs don't work. Like, it seems like a lot of people are just finding them stressful. Mm-hmm. But then there I was having dinner with some buddies. And they were like, we should start a book club. Oh my and gosh. I was sitting there like panic stricken. I was like, wait, no, I've seen the other side of this.
I don't want to be that guy.
I was like, I don't want to shoot down our hopes and dreams here. But I've seen how much people have struggled with book clubs. We get dozens of messages mm-hmm. about it all the time. But I wasn't going to say that. People were hyped. The energy was alive. Okay. The group wanted a book club. And then someone suggested Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I was like, well, I do love that book. And it would be fun to reread it and talk about it. And I was like, let's do it. But you know what? Let's just do it. And if it's even just one session and then the book club falls apart, that's still fine. It was so much fun. I completely changed my tune. Book clubs are the best.
I love how everyone in the past week you've not only read that book, but have you already met with the book club to talk about the book after the fact?
Yes.
How
yes.
did that all so happen we so met, fast?
It did all happen so fast. we did pick this book like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. I just happened to read it right at the last minute.
Yes.
I think partly because I'd already read it, and so I was like, I already know it's only going to take me a few hours to read it, and so I just left it to the last minute. But it's so brilliant. It's just so genius. And one of the topics that people were talking about were like, it's so interesting how it's very scary, but not actually that much scary stuff happens mm-hmm. in it. And like the first thing that the villain, Mr. Hyde, does that like horrifies a bunch of people is he tramples a child. Mm. He like leaves his house in a rush and he accidentally, or maybe not accidentally, that's the question, tramples a child. And then she starts crying. And we're all like, I can't even imagine, how do you trample a child? Like, what are we really taught? Like, knocked her over? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is bad. But it's not like the kind of horror you expect now, mm-hmm. like Stephen King to be writing like some insane crime, or like in modern horror movies, like I knocked over a child.
Yeah,
it's like,
sorry.
It's not that bad. Okay. but in the time, I was like so excited to talk about like at the time, this was really scary. Like this would have been really scary to everyone. And thinking about, I love reading classics because of that, because you're like, yeah, this seems cliche to us now, but this was the first one. That's so cool. The conversation was so great. Everyone came with such different perspectives and different favorite parts, and everyone underlined stuff and had quotes that they wanted to talk about. And the way that, there was five people, me, my brother, my boyfriend, and my brother's two best friends.
Oh, nice.
So it was like really close buddies.
Yeah.
We met, we had pizza. It was a pizza party. We had pizza and we talked about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And we first went around in a circle all talking about whether or not we liked it. Because we were like, that's like a fun, easy starting point. Mm-hmm. Did you like it? And then everyone went around and had something to say. And then we went around again, kind of everybody sharing a favorite passage. Mm-hmm. And that just really let everyone jump off and ask questions and have opinions. And then the conversation kept going. Like I said, everyone had such great things to say. Everyone brought up an idea that I wouldn't have thought of. And it really did remind me of my master's program or my seminars in university, where it's just like a bunch of people who really care about literature and want to talk about it and come like with excitement about a book. Like, it's so much fun when you do that, because you're in a room with smart people and they're all going to bring a smart idea that you didn't think about, but mm-hmm. you're also going to mm-hmm. present an idea that they didn't think about. It was actually awesome. So the next day or 2 days later, I hung out with the person that I went to Agricola Street Books with, where I bought Mr. Penumbra. And she was telling me about how she was in a book club with some of her best friends for a while.
Nice.
And that it really faded away, right? And I was like, that seems to me like the way that these things go.
Yeah.
But then I was like, maybe that's the secret to a book club. Knowing when to let it die.
Yeah.
and maybe allowing it purpose, almost purposefully, to be seasonal. Because you have to have enthusiasm for a book club, I think. Oh, yeah. Everyone has to be really jazzed about it. And so for the first book, everyone's really jazzed because it's the formation of the club. And this is so fun. This is so new. We've not done a book club before this group of people.
Yeah.
And then we show up and it was awesome. And then everyone's like, what's the next book going to be? I can see that being really exciting for like 3 or 4 books.
Yes.
And then it just starts to feel like homework and it's not fun anymore. So at that point, I think, let it die. And then maybe get back to it in 6 months or a year and be like, hey, do we want to give it another round? But seeing that as the positive, being like, it's mm-hmm. book club season, as opposed to we need to do this every month and now it's become stressful.
I totally agree with you. And that's exactly how our book club operates. Mm. And the other thing I was going to say is I think having a book club with your best friends is the best move. You have to be really comfortable with the people in the book club, I think, to like maximize the amount of fun it will be. And that's the situation with me. Like my book club is me and a few of my close friends where we all met at the bookstore. We all used to work together at the bookstore. And so we're all book people. We would used to like talk about the books we were reading at work. And then we would go for coffee after work and just like, you know, talk for like 3 hours about the book, talk about our theories and stuff. And it was so fun. So I really recommend doing it with your friends, first of all, if you can anyway. And the other thing is letting it go in waves, just like you're saying. Like when we first started, we were like really gung-ho and we had, you know, we were like, oh yeah, we'll read this Shirley Jackson book and then we'll read this Agatha Christie book. And like we had just like a bunch of fun books lined up. But then we kind of got to a point where we were like, okay, what do we read now? And that's kind of where we exist now. It's a little bit trickier to find books that interest all of us. And we don't ever want to be reading something like just that one person wants to read and then everybody else is not having a good time. So we kind of just take things slow. And every now and then we'll be like, oh, this would be a good book to read as a group. So let's do it. But we don't do it on any kind of schedule. And we did pick a book recently that I should probably have started by now. But I have not. We're meeting up on Friday for something unrelated. And I was like, guys, is this supposed to be a book club meeting too? And they were like, no, but I am halfway through the book. And I'm like, oh, no.
Another thing that I was really grateful for is that we were all in agreement that, like, let's just do novellas.
Ooh, that's like, nice.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is this book. And I believe the next book is going to be Of Mice and Men.
Oh, nice.
And then, but the other books we were talking about were The Time Machine, Convenience Store Woman, Passing by Nella Larsen. Like, those were some of the books that I got mentioned because we were like, what are short ones that we liked and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a really good
system. Yeah, so I had a really fun time with that book and a really great time with the book club. And I'm very excited for the next session. I was really, I'm really glad that, that I forget who it was that suggested the idea. I think it was my brother and his best friend. I think they were like, we were thinking we should do a book club. So classic Siege with the great ideas. And it was them that suggested Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as well. So I was like, you know what? Awesome. I'm in and I'm going to show up with full enthusiasm every single time. But once I'm starting to feel like it's become homework, I also think that it would be good to communicate that and be like, I feel like I want to tap out for a bit.
Yeah.
And let's like maybe all reconvene when we're more jazzed again. Because that's the other thing. There are busier and less busy times of life when you can fit these things in. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, the next book that I read was The Kamigawa Food Detectives by Hisashi Kashiwai. First published in Japan in 2013, The Kamigawa Food Detectives became a bestseller. The English translation was translated by Jesse Kirkwood and released in February 2024. A sequel, The Restaurant of Lost Recipes, will be published in English in October 2024. Hisashi Kashiwai was born in 1952 and raised in Kyoto. He graduated from Osaka Dental University, but after graduating, returned to Kyoto and worked as a dentist and then as a writer, often highlighting Kyoto. So this was a quick turnaround.
Yes,
on this one.
That was surprising. I was really shocked.
That was surprising. I bought it last week, or I picked it up last week, and I read it last week. I actually finished it this morning, in fact, because I realized I had just a little left, and I was like, I can finish this before the book club, before books on down.
Uh-oh.
Can I do that as my review? Yeah. All right. I wrote some lists. Things I liked.
Okay.
The food. There was a lot of great descriptions of food. All were in the, like, with their Japanese names. Mm. And I looked up a bunch of things because I just don't know that much about Japanese cuisine. And so I would, like, look things up. And it was really, I felt like I was really immersing myself in this food, in this cuisine that I didn't know much about. So that was really cool. Kyoto. Thought that was really cool. Most of the Japanese books that I read are definitely set in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because if most of the books people read about Canada were set in Toronto, I'd be like, ah, that's, it's cool. I like Toronto enough, but it's just one city. Like, there's so much diversity throughout what Canada is and all these different types of stories. So it was great to set something that was, like, so proudly set in Kyoto. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, kind of making a point to bring up, like, well, that's not the Kyoto way.
Yeah.
As you know, we always do this at the end of our meals. And I was like, oh, All right, okay. So I thought that was really cool. And it made me want, it definitely made me want to visit there. When I went to Tokyo in 2018, I went for a conference. And the person who kind of, got me to come and organized my trip and everything, who worked with the conference and everything, he was from Kyoto.
Oh, nice.
And when I met him, he was so friendly, so friendly. When I met him, he gave me a box of cookies that he had bought in Kyoto for me. And I was like, thank you so much. That is so amazing. And he explained to me that they're made in this, like, really famous bakery in Kyoto. And I was like, wow. And I tried the cookies and they were much, basically, for this, I'm sure this is not exactly right, but they were basically matcha shortbread. Like, that's the closest I can explain what they were.
Yeah.
They're like matcha shortbread. Unbelievably good. Like, Christ, next level, holy, like, wow, wow. Nice. I remember just, like, I ate one and I was like, I was, like, already depressed that I only had 20 more, you know? I'm like, no, they're gonna run out one day.
Oh, no.
They were so good. And so since then, since eating that little cookie, I've wanted to go to Kyoto. And this book, I was like, yeah, I really would love to go to Kyoto. And then the third thing on my list of things I liked was kind of the thesis statement of the book. Mm. I felt like the heart of the book was food is emotional for people.
Mm.
And it was a nice exploration of that. So I guess I haven't talked about what the book is. Basically, it's a father and his daughter who run a really nondescript restaurant. It's kind of shabby. It doesn't have a sign. It's like you could walk past it and not know it was a restaurant. But they are a restaurant, and kind of more especially, they are a little detective agency that will help you find a meal from your past. Anything that you want. So we have, is it five or six? I think it's six different people. Yeah, it's six different people who come into the shop and in order, not at the same time, in order, very like serialized. One comes in and it's a woman who wants to recapture this one meal she ate when she was 5 years old.
Okay.
And she sits down with the daughter and the daughter asks her a bunch of questions to try and get clues about how they could track this down. And then they always have 2 weeks to try and replicate the meal. And then 2 weeks later, the person comes back to the restaurant, eats the food, is blown away by how accurate and delicious it is, and it impacts them so much and reminds them of this time in their life, thanks them, leaves. And then it's the next chapter and we do it all again. So the thesis of that, like, food matters and food makes you emotional and flavor, that is a beautiful theme and it's super true. And I think there are a lot of people who, like, are foodies and, like, are really into food and they're very aware of this. But I think also a lot of people maybe take food and those flavors and those homemade recipes for granted. And this really touched on, like, a person who went through a divorce and really misses her ex-husband, and they got divorced for, like, a really sad reason. And she wants to get that meal back that she loved that he made. Or someone whose mom passed away when he was really young and she used to make this meal for him, and he wants to try those flavors again. And what the detectives do is they will, like, go on a big hunt to the little town where he's from and talk to the locals and everything. So I love that thesis. But on the flip side of that, all of that happens off the page. So basically, like, the person will come in, have that initial interview, ask a lot of questions, answer a lot of questions, and then it will, like, have a little cute picture of a ramen bowl.
Yeah.
And then it will be when they come back to the shop two weeks later. Oh. So we don't actually get to see the two people doing the... Well, it's the dad that does it. He's, like, an ex-detective. He used to be a police officer, and now he's, like, doing this special side gig. But we never get to see him out on the field. And I'm like, wait, that would have been vastly more interesting as opposed to later on. He's just like, so I went to your town and I ran into this guy and he told me that your mom used to buy fish here. And then you're like, I would have, that's like a perfect example of show don't tell. Like,
so true. Yeah.
The whole book is him just telling you the detective work he did as opposed to you following on the adventure.
Oh man.
So I felt really detached from it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was also just very repetitive.
I was just thinking that.
Moving into things I didn't like. Repetitive. It felt like it just was the same thing over and over again. Person comes in, tells you the details, comes back 2 weeks later, tries the food, loves it. Do that again and again and again.
Yeah, you know
literally
what's going to happen.
Literally 6 times.
Yeah.
So it just got to a point where I was like, I'm a little bored. The second thing I didn't like was kind of the food, because we didn't get to go on the journey to find that specific ingredient or understand, like, we didn't get descriptions of what the market was like, where he bought it or whatever. It just sometimes felt like a list of the food.
Yeah.
So, like, while I liked the food descriptions, there came a point where I was like, you can't tell me more about mackerel. I don't know. Like, it's too much. It was too many little things. Mm. And then the next thing, because when I finished it, Connor was like, what did you think? And I was like, I made the same sound that I made to you, I guess. I was like, And he was like, 3 out of 5. I was like, 3 out of 5. Like, I didn't hate it. I finished it. I didn't DNF it. Yeah. I enjoyed spending time in Japan. Like, that's why one of the reasons that I really enjoy reading Japanese literature, because you're like, oh God, it's so cool to spend some time there. But he was like, would it have taken much for it to be a 4 out of 5? And I was like, actually, no.
Hmm.
And I was thinking about this. I think that this book could have been so much stronger if the frame narrative was more satisfying and interesting.
Yeah.
Because we don't like have much character development from the detectives, from the dad and the daughter.
Okay.
Very little happens with them. And there's like this like little reference to this customer who's constantly there and you're like, oh, okay, it seems like the daughter and him have a flirtation going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's never really developed.
Mm.
The dad lost his wife and misses her and is talking about, like, when is the right time to remarry. That doesn't really develop into anything.
Oh, so the main characters aren't really characters.
That's exactly it. The main characters aren't really characters. Mm. They're kind of just, like, vessels for the other characters. Right. And I was like, if you had made their stories really good and, like, I had gotten to learn, because otherwise, if you don't do that, otherwise it just feels like 6 little stories.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's an arc of any kind. It doesn't feel like any progress was made. Right. At the end of the book, the main characters are in the exact same position that they were in at the beginning of the book.
Yeah, that's boring.
You know? It was boring. So, things to mention. This is my final list. The cat. You asked me, is the cat actually in the book? He is in the book.
Okay.
His name is Drowsy.
Okay.
Love that. He's not important to the plot in any way, but he is consistently in it. Like, he kind of just sits at the front of the restaurant and everyone has a little moment with him as they walk into the restaurant. And they're constantly trying to shoo the cat away. So he is in the book. My other final note for this book was that it didn't feel like the right format. I was thinking that while reading it. I was like, I feel like maybe this is supposed to be like serialized in a newspaper. Like, if every month I read another story from the Kamigawa Food Detectives.
Things that can be independent from each other because the main characters don't really have an arc. It is kind of just like Yeah, I see
or
what you're saying.
If it was a comic strip, or if it was like a sitcom where like every episode somebody new comes in and we do, like, that would have been a little bit better. I actually don't feel that a novel form was the best format for this book.
Very interesting.
And that is my review of the Kamigawa Food Detectives. So I will, since you kind of already did, I'll talk about what I'm currently reading, which is still just Homesick for Another World.
That's been dragging on for a while now.
It is dragging a little bit now, and I'm just like, I feel trapped in a moshfag pit. I did also bring Alphabet Diaries by Sheila Hedy with me, because I was like, it would be so cool to just slam this out of the way.
Yeah.
And give it a shot, because I'm very curious about it. But I haven't actually started it, so maybe I shouldn't have even showed it to you.
I like the intrigue, though. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, just a little tease of what may come, but may not. But yeah, let's do some mailroom action.
Yeah.
How about you start us off? What did you find?
Okay, this one was a great comment we got from Haley Cantor. I think you commented on this, so you'll like it already, but I just wanted to shout it out. She's one of our great patrons. She just says, had the best Books Unbound binge weekend ever. I had been busy with my friend in town, so I had loads of Patreon content to catch up on. Watched the Peach hair reveal live stream and movie tub on Saturday, and then the early Peach release episode and Raylene's Peachy vlog on Sunday. To top it all off, I found a peach iced tea at the ramen place I went to for dinner, and it was so delicious. I just loved that. I love hearing about the peachy things people are doing.
It's true.
There was another comment. Somebody said they were like having peach tea and making a pie or something. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. Bring on all the peaches.
We had a comment on the YouTube channel, which I almost pulled out. Mm. And it was a girl who was like, me and my best friend are going to go get our nails done. We didn't know what color to do, but I think now we know.
Ah!
And a peach emoji. And I was like,
that's
yes.
Incredible. That is so good. Okay, this next comment was from our Discord, someone named Uru, who says, my first post here, I didn't see an art dedicated channel, so I'm assuming this one is the most appropriate. That was in the hobbies channel. They said they put the sketch of you, Ariel, that they did last year.
Oh,
so I will share a photo of this to put on the video version of the podcast, because it's so cute. It's a picture of you. There's a little like duck thing. It's very cute. It's very cute.
Oh my God.
I'll send it to you.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I can't find it to send to you right now, but it's you'll see it soon, my friend. And then this last comment I have here is from Katina, who says, when Ariel started explaining the history of the Peach hair saga at the beginning of the episode, and she said, 4 years ago, I just immediately heard the Gettysburg Address in my head, where Lincoln goes, 4 score and 7 years ago, our forefathers, and wanted to burst out laughing. Like, this moment is my
that's
Gettysburg
awesome.
Address, okay? A little niche American history reference that probably no one else will laugh at. And some other people responded to that thinking that was hilarious. What a weird...
4 score. Hell yeah.
So that's our Peach saga.
I used to know the beginning of that speech.
Oh, really?
I've forgotten now, though. That's so cute.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
All right. I pulled some comments from the YouTube channel. This one's from Ellie Melvin. Petition to please call fake cat books catfishes.
That's perfect.
Very good.
That's really good.
Catfish book.
I love that.
Catfish book. Yeah.
Catfish book.
So I will say that the book I read was not a catfish, because it actually it does have a cat.
Yeah.
Also, Ariel, I'd recommend you reading A Movable Feast by Hemingway. He gives a fascinating glimpse into Gertrude Stein's personality, which I have been meaning to read that book for like over a decade. And so maybe it's time to bump that baby up.
Do it.
Puff Maggie says, funny story. I started Project Hail Mary a while ago and dropped it because I didn't like the main character's written voice. Then last week, saw some people in the community say that they loved it and that they really liked the audiobook. Mm. This really links to what you were saying, Eileen.
Yeah.
So I picked it up again with the audiobook, thanks Audible for a free trial, and read it in 2 days. It's so lovely and possibly one of the best audiobooks I've listened to in a while. The narration is fantastic, plus other tidbits in the production that just worked great. So thank you, Books Unbound people.
Nice.
So this is awesome because it links exactly to what you were saying and also shows the Books Unbound people banding together, which I love to see.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But also I didn't realize at the time that I pulled that comic that it's an Audible original.
I know. Like I would, if I could get it from the library, I would pick it up now. Like I would just grab it and listen to it because I do really want to listen to it. But I'm like, eh, it's not worth the effort of signing up for another free trial. I don't even know if I have a free trial left.
Yeah. It's so controversial. Like, I am totally for Audible doing originals of public domain stuff because we all have the right to do that, right? If you want to pay Nicole Kidman $1 million to read a book, go for it because anybody else can do that too. But if you are getting the right, the only rights to a new book, that's so crazy to me that you can't get that. So no one can listen to Project Hail Mary at the library. Like that.
Yeah, nobody.
That's wild. I had the same thing with So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. That audiobook of an incredible book is only available through Audible. And I'm like, that's crazy. New release. That means that for like 80 years, if you want to listen to that book, you've got to get it from Audible, which is crazy.
Yeah, I don't like that.
This also reminds me when I read On Writing a few weeks ago, at the end, it came with some bonus content, which was terrible. I don't know if I talked about this. It was so bad because I listened to the audiobook version because I bought it like a decade ago. And so I ended up listening to In the Car with Connor and the book ended. And then it started an interview with one of his sons and then an interview with another one of his sons. And I was like, okay, it was just really badly recorded. Like, it was just weird.
Oh, weird.
But anyways, in one of them, actually, it wasn't an interview. It was like he was reading an essay he'd written for a newspaper or something. Okay. And it was one of the sons. And he was talking about how as a kid, his dad, Stephen King, got him to record audiobooks for him. So he, like, as a child, read Dune on a tape recorder. For his dad, and then his dad would listen to them on road trips and stuff.
That's hilarious.
So he just has all of these audiobooks recorded for him by his own kids, which is such a beautiful idea.
I really like
that's
that.
so cool. But I was like, I guess that is another way to do Project Hail Mary.
You that's
could
true.
Read it for your friend.
Yeah. I'm not willing
which
to do that.
Is
but
illegal.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. Okay, a note in the margin, 7951, says, the New York Times published Sheila Hetty's journal entries alphabetically, weekly, and I really enjoyed reading it each week. I'm excited they ended up publishing it because I canceled my subscription. Lol. I forgot to mention this when I hauled this book. This was a project that originally came out in the New York Times.
That's cool.
So I think that means that people can access it. But I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay.
And then finally, Lucy M6356 says, Ariel, about the Kamigawa food detectives. I'm super curious to hear what you think. Right now, I feel like I'm the only one who didn't like this one, and I'm looking forward to hearing your perspective. I picked it up for the same reasons as you guys, and I'm a fan of the book Before the Coffee Gets Cold, which it's compared to a lot. So tell me, am I the problem? Because I found this one too repetitive, a bit shallow, and just boring. If not, because then I might give it another chance as I stopped after 60-ish pages. And I saw this comment. And I was like, well, I actually read it already.
That's perfect.
And unfortunately, I don't think you should keep going. And I really recommend Before the Coffee Gets Cold over this one. Also, the Motosaki Bookshop, I think, was awesome.
Okay.
And I would, it's like, it's not about food, but it is about a cozy shop. So I feel like that one is a, of the recent Japanese translated stuff, I recommend that one more.
Nice.
So there you have it, everyone. That's it.
There you go.
That's our reading week. We are now going to go and record our Patreon bonus podcast, Movie Tub, where we talk about the films we've been watching. I'm going to be talking about Dune. Dune 2, I should say. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I also saw Dune 2, so I'll join you there. But last night I watched Poor Things, so I'll talk about that.
Okay, I'm very curious about that, actually. Very curious. All right, we'll go over there. If you want to check that out, it's patreon.com/booksunbound. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.